To page 505, we are going to have a reading this morning from Psalm 142, beginning at the first verse. With my voice, I cry to the Lord. With my voice, I make supplication to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit is faint, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look on my right hand and see. There is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for me. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Save me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. For you will deal bountifully with me.
Thank you, Susan. Well, our theme today is soul wounds, or wounds of the soul or spirit, and we're continuing in our series on how to find freedom. And where we've come to so far is that we've been exploring different dimensions of healing, spiritual healing and freedom. It's very important to be free, to be healed, particularly when we're welcoming and helping people coming to faith, turning to Christ. Imagine if we had hundreds of people turning to Jesus and needing healing and help. And a principle really is you can only give away what you've already received. So it's good to know how to be healed yourself in order to help other people be healed and be set free. And we've talked about lots of different dimensions of freedom, freedom from generational sin and curses, freedom from ungodly beliefs, how to separate ourselves from ungodly soul ties, dealing with inner vows and judgments we may have made. And today we're looking at wounds of the soul or the spirit, which can provide footholds or entry points for Satan, who wants to limit us and restrict us from taking up the destiny that God has for us. It's one of the important areas of freedom, to be set free from our own wounds, the wounds of our soul. Well, what is a wound of the soul or a wound of the spirit? The soul is basically your personality, if you like, your mind, your will, your memory, your emotions, your psyche, perhaps, in Greek. It's who you are emotionally and mentally, and the whole sum total of your memories. All of that is your soul. And the spirit is the God-awakened part of us. It's the part of us that's really connected to God and is connecting our soul to God as well. And we can be deeply affected by wounds of the soul, wounds of the spirit. Sometimes the wounds of the soul are worse than the wounds of the body when you go through a trauma. In fact, that's not uncommonly the case. Wounds of the soul are invisible. They're not easily apparent. They're intangible. And but they can really be affecting us to the very core of our being. Also, their presence can be felt or seen, revealed in the world by their effects. So unhealed emotions can cause eruptions, kind of volcanic eruptions sometimes in a person. There might be behaviors that are the result of unhealed emotions and soul wounds, or perhaps persistent thoughts that plague us and make the Christian life very difficult for us because of our wounds that we carry. These wounds can hold us hostage to the past and make us vulnerable to Satan's destructive suggestions. So if you like, if you are thinking, you know, if Satan's making a plan for an individual, he'll work out their soul wounds and he'll keep pressing on those areas and try to hurt them in those areas and keep pushing on that barrier of vulnerability. Now, here's the issue about soul-spirit wounds. And this is that, just going on to the next slide, is that Someone can be set free from many things. You can forgive the enemies that have hurt you or people that have abused you. You can be delivered from demons. You can have all your curses broken off you. You can deal with our ungodly beliefs. And these things are all really important. But none of these things by themselves can heal wounds of the soul or the spirit. They're a separate proposition. You can't cast a wound out, for example. You can't get rid of it just by thinking the right thoughts. The wound can be very powerful, in fact, to re-imprison somebody. Like you could cast out a demon and bring healing to their thoughts and break curses. But if their wound's not healed, that wound can be like an open doorway to bring more stuff and more oppression back into someone's life. So the difficulty is that our pain management strategies can limit our freedom and hold us back. If we have a wound, we often need to change the way we function in order to cope with that wound. It's like, imagine you have a really badly infected left leg, you walk with a bad limp because you have to protect that leg. And so it is with our lives, that when there's a wound of the soul, we live with a limp because we're dealing with that wound all the time. And a wound can also cause heartbreak and hurts to others. Many Australian men were deeply hurt through the First or the Second World War, and they came back and sometimes their physical wounds were healed, but their emotional wounds continued. And you basically had these two generations of shut down men that caused a lot of grief also for their children, because they were emotionally unavailable to their wives and to their children, and it had a huge impact on the whole development of the nation because of the trauma that was caused and the hurts that they carried that weren't healed. Now, when you have a wound of the soul, secular counseling can be of some help. It can help debrief the issue, maybe help manage the trauma. You can get some coping strategies. But fundamentally, in the end, it's only Jesus that can heal these deep wounds. And one thing I want to bring home to you is really important, that part of the promise of the cross is healing the wounds of our souls. We often think of the cross in terms of forgiveness of sin, and that's very important. But the prophecies of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture make clear that the cross is also important for healing the wounds of the soul. So remember that definitive passage from Isaiah 61, which Jesus read out in the synagogue, and he said, "This is my calling," basically, to the people. Luke 4, 18 to 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted," which means healing the wounds, the brokenness of the soul, and to proclaim liberty to the captives. And notice how freedom goes along with healing of the soul. Those two go together. But it's one thing to be set free from physical chains, but it's another thing to be set free from the wounds that you picked up while you were in those chains. Matthew 12, 20, for me, one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. It says about the Messiah, quoting from Isaiah 42, that he won't shout or quarrel, he won't break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. And that's an image of incredible gentleness. The Messiah will bring justice to victory in our lives through incredible gentleness. And that's remarkable. He's not going to shout at you. Jesus is not a shouter. He's a gentle healer. That's important to keep in mind, because there's a great vulnerability about our soul wounds, and we need to connect with the Jesus who gently knows how to lead us into a place of healing. Psalm 23, David's reflection on his own traumas and struggles, and he says that he leads us by still waters, he restores our soul. This is a promise, really, that God is the one who restores our soul. How many people here at some time or another have needed their soul to be restored? What would that feel like, to have a refreshed and renewed and healed soul? And Isaiah 53, this amazing passage that points us to the meaning of the cross, it says, "Surely," speaking of the sufferings of the Messiah, "surely he took our pain and bore our suffering." Now that's amazing, isn't it? Jesus actually not only took our sin on the cross, he also took our pain. He took our emotional pain and our suffering. And so we actually have a place to take that pain to. We have someone who is standing ready to take that from us. Exodus 15, 26, "I am the Lord who heals you." And so he does. He saves us through and through in many different ways. I'm going to ask Debbie to come and share a story of someone, a woman who was suffering from a skin condition which caused her physical issues, but there was a deeper issue, which was her wounded soul.
Many of you would know that my profession is nursing, and I was actively in nursing for about 30 years. And one situation sticks in my mind. We would often have people that would come into the ward that would be very physically depleted or in need of medical care, but they often had other issues that were happening in their heart and their mind at the time, which would really affect the outcome of their physical treatment. And this lady sticks in my mind because she came at a time when I was working as a charge nurse in the hospital, and she came in covered in bandages and wounds, and probably about 75% of her body was just broken out into huge welts and wounds and was weeping pus all over her body, and she'd been that way for a number of months. And as she came into the ward, it was obvious that she was in a very hostile frame of mind. She was really quite rude to a lot of the nurses and had been known to throw things at them as well. And by the end of the day, the end of her first day on the ward, the nurses came to me one by one and said, look, I really feel for this lady, but I don't think I can look after her. And so I really had a sense that this woman, who I'll call Mary, was suffering in her spirit very severely, that in a way the wounds of her body caused her great stress, but she was relating out of the wound in her soul. And so I decided, as I prayed frantically to the Lord, what do? I decided to take her on as my personal patient. And as I was preparing to go in and to tend to her wounds that day, we used to have to tend to her twice a day, I prayed and said to the Lord, Lord, I really don't know how to do this, but I want to connect with the deepest place in her heart, because she seems to be so full of self-loathing and self-hatred and so angry with the world. I really need your wisdom to show me how to break through. And you can understand that if she'd been living with several months with a body that was actually breaking down under her, she was really quite horrific to look at, it would have had effect on her relationships as well, mainly because people didn't know whether what she had was contagious or not, and the doctors didn't know that at the time. And so there was an isolation that had come around her, and the horror that she used to see in people's face, that reflected body image, my goodness, they think I'm hideous, and I think I'm hideous too. All of that was at work, and I could see it very visibly. And so as I wheeled the trolley in with all my supplies, I just felt the Lord saying gently to me, tend her wounds as if you were treating Christ, as if these were the wounds of Jesus just after he'd come down from the cross. And so every day as I went in, I prayed my way through the wound dressings. I didn't speak it actively out, but my mind and my heart were praying for her. And I just felt God was saying, just love her and let her see your love and your compassion and your acceptance in your eyes. And so the first couple of days, this lady Mary would have a body language that said, I hate myself, keep away from me, I don't even want you to touch me, I just want to die. And the minute I started to get the supplies out, she would go absent on me. She would look at a spot in the corner of the room. She just didn't even want to look at her body. And I would begin to pray silently and just to connect with her. Even though her eyes were elsewhere, I would try to make eye contact with her. By about the end of the second day, she started to make eye contact with me. And by the end of the third day, she would look into my eyes. She would actually stare me down as I was doing the wounds. Her eyes would not leave my eyes. And I was still praying and still trying to convey the love and acceptance of Jesus. And many times I wouldn't just touch her wounds, but I would find a way to touch her hands and maybe the arm next to the wound, just to convey that I loved her and that I was not afraid of her and that she was precious to me. The fourth day in the morning, I walked in and the lady looked at me and she burst into tears. And she didn't speak a lot of English. She was Greek. And she tried to convey something to me. She managed to get out, "I love you." And she asked her husband to come in and to translate for me and to tell me what had been going on in her heart. And she said, "When I came to hospital, I hated myself. I wanted to die. I've been this way for so long, and nobody seemed to know how to fix me. And I couldn't stand the look in people's eyes that said, 'You look awful, you look hideous, I'm afraid of catching something from you.'" And she said, I realized that I may never get better, and I was really angry with God. And it turned out she was a Greek Orthodox Christian lady, but her faith had really been hurled over a precipice with this experience. And she said to me, "As you began to treat my wounds, I had an image," and this was on the second day, "I had an image of Jesus coming and standing next to me. And as your hands touched my wounds, his nail-scarred hands touched my wounds. And as he did that, I felt him beginning to heal the pain that was in my heart." And she said, "At first I thought it was just my imagination, but this kept happening day after day. When you came to help me, I would see Jesus, I would feel his love, I would feel his touch." Now, it happened over the next week that the medical profession did come up with a diagnosis. They felt that it was an autoimmune disease that she had, where her body was turning in on itself and it was actually cannibalizing the tissue of her own body. And so they implemented some treatment for her that didn't really begin to work for quite a long time. And so our relationship continued. But during that time, she would then start to say to me, "Will you pray for me?" as I tended her wounds. And so she would pray in Greek and I would pray in English, and we'd just pray our way through the dressings, and we would have that very strong sense of the room being turned into a chapel, of that very bare ward, little isolated single room being filled with the glory of God and the love of God. And yes, she was healed over time. Her body was healed. And on one of the last weeks before she went home, she accosted the medical team as they came in to do their morning rounds. And those of you that have been in hospital will know that, you know, maybe three of them come in, but maybe 20, if you're a really interesting case and cause a lot of curiosity among the medical profession, you can end up with 20 in the room. And so that day she co-opted the medical translator and she said, "I want to tell these men what's happened." And so she actually explained everything that she'd been going through, the things she'd been feeling. She gave them her testimony about Jesus becoming present. She implicated me in the testimony as well. But for about 10 minutes, that team of about 18, 20 doctors were held captive by her testimony, her experience with Jesus. And so I kept up contact for quite a long time with her, and her faith was renewed, and she went out of that hospital able to tell other people what Jesus can do, able to pray for them as a living testimony. And all of that inner self-loathing, that very gaping soul-spirit wound, had been healed by the love and tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, why are wounds of the soul hard to heal? There's a few reasons. One is the memory can then be imprinted very deeply on your soul. Like, you can remember things you smell and saw and taste, and just the moment of a traumatic event that can happen, it can imprint really deeply on you. Another thing is sometimes people can have unprocessed trauma. So the body shuts down in the middle of something that's really hurtful, and then you just don't revisit it, and that just sits there deep inside, unaddressed. There can also be, and this is quite subtle, there can be ungodly beliefs woven into the wound. So you have something traumatic that's hurt you, maybe like the lady's infection over her skin, over her body, and attached to that is this belief that she is disgusting, that she would be rejected. And so the wound, the physical wound, is attached to the emotional wound, which is attached to this ungodly belief. And what happens is that the ungodly belief, it seems very real because the wound is real. You know, suppose a child is abused and they're told, this is your fault. Now, that's an ungodly belief. But because the pain of the abuse is real, the ungodly belief feels real. And so those two combine together and they partner together. So this can be a reason why wounds are hard to deal with, pain is hard to remove. And also, there are demonic assignments. If there's an area of your soul that's been hurt, demons can keep pressing on that, exploiting that, and using that. It's like territory they've got. And they'll keep trying to traumatize you in the same way as well. So to address the wounds of the soul, you need to address holistically a number of things that are important to bring people into healing. But a very important part of finding emotional healing is a process of really pouring out your grief, your pain, your wound of your soul before the Lord. It's pouring out your soul to the Lord. And Psalm 142 is a great example of that. The Psalms are a great resource for crying out to God. And this is a Psalm of David. He was on the run. He was hiding in a cave. Basically, all his kind of privileged friends in the court of Saul would have abandoned him by this point. He's had to run away even from his wife. Saul has given his wife to somebody else to marry. And he's fearing for his life. And here he is deep in the ground in the cave. And he's really very, very distressed, very traumatized by what's been happening. And he's pouring out his soul to the Lord. He's saying, I pour out my soul to the Lord. It's like the tears are flowing from the eyes, but the emotions, the pain is being poured out before the Lord as well. And he's very honest with God. He's very direct with God. Sometimes people fear that God couldn't cope if we really told him what we thought or felt. You know, but let me tell you, God already knows. And he's able to cope. And there's so many examples in the Psalms of people being angry with God, people, expressing really distressing emotions before the Lord. It's okay to do that. In fact, it's really helpful. I had some friends who were doing ministry of healing and deliverance amongst people in Indonesia, particularly helping people who are leaving Islam. And they found that they could address every issue, but the one they just couldn't address was wounds of the soul. And one day they saw ministry happening in another context, and they discovered the key. And the key was that someone really needs to release their grief, their pain before the Lord, pour it out before the Lord. It's like, you know, if you have a really deeply infected wound, maybe deep in your calf, and there's nothing wrong on the surface, but deep inside there's a lot of infection and it's really painful. In order to heal that wound, it needs to be opened. In fact, often when there's a wound that's become infected from a surgery, the doctors need to put a drain in so that it can be cleaned out, so that it can be poured out, where the poison can be drawn out, you know. And pouring out your soul to the Lord is a really key step in coming towards healing. So David, he makes this really honest complaint, I pour out my soul to the Lord. He affirms his faith that God knows his situation, even the things that are not seen by other people. And then he expresses hope and dependence. He throws himself onto the mercy of God. It's a beautiful model, actually, for bringing our wounds before the Lord. So what I'd like to do is step you through a process for dealing with a wound of the soul. And you can do this with somebody else, or you can do it by yourself as well. I'm going to explain the process, then I'm going to invite us to go through it. And it's quite possible that a few people might have something opened up. And if that's the case, just put your hand up and there are some people around who'll love to come and just pray with you and sit with you and walk with you. Happened at 9 o'clock as well. So if that's you, don't be frightened about that. And I want to just step through a few things about this process. Firstly, you need to understand that God is incredibly gentle and skillful and wise about the matters of your soul. He doesn't put a plow through your soul. He is like a skilled surgeon. There's a passage in Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16, where first it says that the word of the Lord is a two-edged sword separating marrow from bone. That sounds quite painful, doesn't it? But the next few verses later, it says that Jesus sympathizes with us because he knows our weakness and he's experienced our weakness. So when you're dealing with God and your emotional wound, the hurt of your soul, you need to understand that he understands. He understands with compassion your frailty and vulnerability, and also that God has incredible skill and knowledge about how to help you come through to healing. So one of the things that we emphasize when people are being healed of wounds of the soul and the spirit is really to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't go galloping in to say, you must deal with this, you must deal with that. It's like, what does God want to do with you today? I often think of Jesus as the gatekeeper, like there's all these doors in your soul, and you're not really sure you want to open them all up at once. But you can ask Jesus to open the ones that need to be opened and keep the ones closed that need to be closed, and let the Holy Spirit be master of the process and to actually lead you through to a safe place. He leads us beside still waters, the Psalm 23 says. So what we do is we invite the Holy Spirit just to reveal what's on God's agenda, what he wants to heal. And sometimes he'll bring a memory to mind that's been shut away that we haven't remembered for a long time. Or we'll experience an emotion that we'd suppressed and haven't really wanted to deal with. But if we trust the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God, he'll do that for our good and it'll be helpful. And we can go with what the Holy Spirit brings to mind. And then there's the process of pouring out your soul to the Lord. And if you're in a quiet place or you're just sitting with a friend or something, you can just pour it out verbally, let it all go. But we're going to step through this in a moment and just encourage you just to do that in quietness between you and the Lord, if the Holy Spirit's leading you in that way. And then having poured that out to the Lord, and there's another step, which is to basically hand our emotions to Jesus. Surely he took our pain, he bore our suffering. Now you remember this principle of specificity. God has done this in general for us all. But we need to apply it. We need to take our pain, our suffering, and give it to Jesus and understand that's what he died for. One of the reasons he died was to take our pain and to bear our suffering. So we can do that with authority and with confidence, but having poured it out, having named it, we can give it to the Lord and say, look, I don't want to carry this pain anymore. It's too much for me, but Jesus, I'm going to give it to you today. And then we can invite Jesus into the memory. And God will do many things with people at this time. Sometimes they actually have a vision or a mental picture of Jesus in that place of pain for them. They'll see him and he'll speak to them and he'll say something that will make all the difference. To really realize God was actually there in the middle of all those things that cause pain to us and that he has words of life for us. And then part of the process is identifying and cleaning up associated issues if there's any ungodly beliefs that have come to mind, like that woman's ungodly belief that she was horrible and everyone would hate her and reject her. We can clean up those things as we go through. Any unforgiveness to someone that has caused the wound, you confess it at that point. Any generational curses or soul ties that need to be separated, or the imprint in memory that's affected you, the things that just keep coming back, flashing back at you, asking the Lord to, you can ask Jesus to not completely take away a memory, but to take away its urgency, to, as it were, smooth the sand where the footprints of memory have gone. And so they're not as pressing upon us and they're not pushing upon us, to heal a memory. And then there's a process of thanksgiving. That's an expression of faith. And also, very important always when you're dealing with freedom, is to fill and bless what's been taken away, the pain that's been taken away. Ask the Lord to bless and fill that aspect of your soul with the Holy Spirit. Now, souls are amazing things. They're complex, and all your memories, all your life story, there's your soul, and God knows it all, and he's not going to deal with all of it at the same time necessarily, but there's maybe one thing that he'd love to deal with today to invite you into to find some healing, some relief from a wound of your soul or spirit. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us now. And after this time of prayer, there'll be ongoing worship, and if you'd like someone just to come and sit with you in processing this, there's a ministry team standing around, and they'd love to come and just sit with you if that would help. So let's just go through these steps together. We're going to make it real. And just remember that God is gentle. He has skill. He has wisdom. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's not going to take you into a place that's too hard. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just be at work in each of us now and reveal an area of our life that you'd like to heal. It might seem like a small thing, but something where there's been a wound that you would like to bring healing to today. Thank you, Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus said the Spirit would reveal the truth to us. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd reveal the truth about something you'd like to heal today. And in the light of what the Spirit of God brings to mind now or has brought to mind, I just invite you, between you and the Lord, just to pour out your feelings about that to the Lord. Just tell God about it. Tell God what you feel. It's all right to get angry. Now I invite you just to hand over your emotions to the Lord. It says in Scripture, surely he took our pain, he bore our suffering, the Lord Jesus. So it's just a matter of saying, Jesus, I don't want to have this pain anymore, and I hand this over to you. Please bear it for me. I can't bear it anymore, and I want you to take it from me. The Scripture says, surely, surely, he bore our sorrows. He bore our pain. Surely he does. This is a promise. So we hand that over in faith. The pain, the frustration, disappointment, abandonment, bitterness, fear. Hand it over in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would come into this memory for each of us, that you would visit us in that place, and you'd speak to us, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, with your healing hand and speak. Come into the place of our pain and bring your presence, Lord, now. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would enable us to receive what Jesus is doing right now, to receive the words he's speaking, understand his presence in our life. And Spirit of God, I pray that you would reveal ungodly beliefs associated with our pain, that we could renounce them and be set free from them. Show us how to forgive those that have caused this pain. We break all curses that have come against us and connected to this. Soul ties that are ungodly, we renounce them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you'd heal memories, that you would just remove the imprint of trauma from souls, that you'd take away the imprint of sight, of sound, of smell, of sensation in Jesus' name. Lord, where poison has come into hearts, I ask you just to remove that. Where there's bruising, I pray that you'd restore. Lord, where there's fiery darts of the enemy that have been thrown against us, the lies of Satan, we just remove them one by one in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would fulfill the promise of Psalm 23 and restore our souls. I thank you, God, you are our healer. You are the one who heals us. Thank you for the finished work of Christ on the cross. By your stripes, Lord Jesus, we are healed. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill our souls, that you would bring life and healing and vitality, refreshment, energy. I pray, Lord, where those wounds have been opened and cleansed by your Spirit, that you would re-knit us together, that you would restore what's been hurt, that you'd bring life and health into all those places, Lord. that you'd bring joy where there's been sorrow, hope where there's been disappointment, sweetness where there's been bitterness. Refresh your church, I pray. Renew us in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would just contain anything that hasn't been dealt with today, that you'd hold it under your control and your authority in our souls. And in the name of Jesus, I command any demons that have used this pain in our lives to go. Your assignment is finished. Your rights are taken away by the cross. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. And you will not reoffend and seek to have opportunity against this person. You go in the name of Jesus. And we shut the door on you. Lord, I pray that you'd build up what's been broken down, that you'd bring freedom, that you'd bring deep peace in Jesus' name. Any time now or while we're worshiping, if you'd like someone just to come and sit with you and continue to pray with you, just raise your hand and someone will come and be with you. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. It actually means God saves, and that salvation is a huge concept. It includes the healing of the wounds of our soul, that He is the one who heals us. He's our healer. I think we might, I don't want to forbid you from standing, but if you'd like to just sit and rest in the presence of the Lord, feel free. If you like to stand and worship, feel free as well. Just let the Lord lead you in the way you want to worship. Thanks, guys.
We're going to sing Death Could Not Hold.
And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave.
Declaring
the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you were raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. And now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours and forever.
You have no rival.
And you have no rival, and you have no equal. And now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, and yours is the name above. Oh, what a power, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name.
We're gonna sing that again. What a powerful
Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.